something that is of a help to other people. And if we just keep it to ourselves, it doesn't bless anyone. And you will also dry up, unfortunately. That's how God has made it, because he's got his blessing on giving rather than receiving. So most of the time, I think we think about when we give money. So I do that. I do my duty. But we sang this song, and I can't exactly remember the words, but it was that he strengthens the weak. And that is a tremendous, tremendous work for you as a believer. Because people are weak. We are all that way. We need help. We need encouragement. And isn't that why we come together, is to do that? Is it just Lynn's job to do that? Or Matt's? No, it's everyone who has been given something from God. He has something to give. And we have to allow God to work in us so that we become bold in our faith. We have to step beyond our boundaries sometimes. And I'd like to read something. You don't have it back there, unfortunately. I was sitting there as I was thinking it. It's in Luke. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. We have to allow God to work in us so we come into the boldness of faith. It's written in the one place that says, I believe and therefore I speak. You also believe and therefore you speak. You think about these young guys up here on the front bench, you know, think about that. Their boldness in the Lord, and the glory of the young man is their strength. But in this boldness of faith, we become a blessing to many people. We can also, without help from God, we can also become a curse. You can think of the first disciples when they were going to go out and they were going to help people. Jesus had given them a ministry. And then they met these people who wouldn't hear them. And the first thing they wanted to do was to bring fire down from heaven, burn them up. That was their zeal. They were young men. They were full of fire. But Jesus, he said, there's a better way, he said. You know, I didn't come to destroy people. I came to save them. So it's written in Luke in chapter 4. I'll read there in verse 18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This was Jesus. He came into the temple. This was his way of doing things. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Think what a task. And you could say that was Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He said that, but isn't the Spirit of the Lord upon you? Isn't that your task? I think we're way too weak and unbelieving, you could say, in what God has given us and how he works in us to perform the task. Think that you have a ministry to uphold the weak. And then it doesn't work. What's your task the next day? Uphold the weak. Think you've been given a ministry to bless. So you bless and it doesn't bring any results. So you bless again. That's your task. Isn't that the way it is? That's what I experience. And isn't the greatest reward of our labors? I was thinking it's comparative to a family that's going to have a child, a baby. So they go through this 9 months, and there's all kinds of things you go through. And then finally, you're at the time where the baby is delivered. And the baby, the first sound it makes is one of the most beautiful sounds in the world. It's its cry. And it is exactly the same way that I've experienced, first for myself, but then also for others. And you see, when they come to faith themselves, they have this cry of the first fruits, of the firstborn. They believe and can be ever so weak, but you can see they've got their own motor. They've got their own connection to the head, which is Christ. And that's why we're here today. It's not to listen to some preacher, although we do that. We need that. But it's each member in the body of Christ has been given something to bless other people with. And if you don't fill that need yourself, and what God has given you, you're actually robbing the body. And you're robbing and cheating yourself. Because you find as you give of what you have, then God blesses that. And when the others become blessed, you rejoice with joy unspeakable. You don't need anything for yourself any longer. So that's not what I was going to speak about. It's kind of a new task for me to make notes, etc. But I'd like to share something because we, on our life as a Christian, as a Jesus follower, like Lynn calls them, we meet many things. We come into many situations. It isn't all happiness and joy. There is battle. There is war. There are things that you work with in your daily life. But you have this strong comfort that Jesus, he loves you. You are walking in his footsteps. You are learning from God. You're being strengthened day by day in your battles. You're a mother at home. You have a lot of children. And these children have all kinds of demands and take all kinds of your time. And you can't get your work done like you wanted to do. Aren't you being a blessing, though? That's the thing that you have to remember. That's the thing you have to keep hold of. I'm doing the task that God has set in front of me. The same way with the fathers, wherever they are, wherever, whatever they're doing. So in my experience in life, God always comes at the right time, and he always helps you in your time of need. And I had a time like that years ago, one of many times, I guess, but there was one specific that I could see, looking back now, you could see my faith was being so tried and so tested, and I was so weak and so hopeless that I needed it. So, if you can put that first slide up on the board, please. And I had gone out to shopping. I was at Sam's Club, and as I got out of my truck, I don't even know what the situation was anymore, but there was a tremendous need in my heart. I didn't know how things were going to go, but I saw this. You can see the verse now, and I guess I should have taken a picture of the back of it. But when I got out of the truck, on the pavement, there was this 3x4 piece of, you can see it. It was laying there on the ground. I didn't pay any attention to it, and I went on in, did my shopping, came back out, and it was still there. So I walked over to it, and I flipped it over, and that's what it says. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by Spirit of the Lord. Whoever printed it missed the in there. And it was sealed in plastic. I don't know who lost it. God may have put it there. I don't know. It was there. And it was for me personally. So needless to say, that verse has a spot where I can see it many times through life. But I thought of it, and well, what does that mean? We all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So now you're this Christian who's supposed to be always upbeat. He's supposed to always have things to give. And you can become despondent because of that, because it doesn't seem to be working for you. It doesn't seem that your life is increasing the way you want it to. But it takes time. That I found. You want to become a good person. You want to become a blessing. You want to be always patient with your children. You want them to grow up to be godly people. And sometimes it may take forever, but you're there. But God, he's a God of hope. And if you can see that kind of a glory in serving your God, is it a glory to become patient? Is it a glory to become long-suffering, to be kind? I believe it is. Isn't that a glory? And then you read that verse, and if you can behold that glory of the Lord, you can be transformed into that image. Day by day, you go from glory to glory. It takes time. Believe me, it takes time. But the attraction of a Christian, what is that? We sing a song here. I don't know if I can say all the words of it, but it's, "Oh, to be like you. Jesus, there's no one beside you, forever the hope in my heart," I think it says. Yeah. "And I'd give all I have just to know you." And we can just sing that as a song. It's a nice song. But has that need risen in your heart? Have you seen Jesus to that degree that, oh, I want to be like him? And then the next question comes, well, to be like him, well, what's that like? If you were to be like Jesus, how would you be? Yeah, there it is. "Oh, to be like you." These guys in the back do a great job. It's one of those, you could say, somewhat hidden ministries, but without them, it wouldn't work, right? So it's the same for us. We find our place in what God has given us in life. But to be like Jesus, then there's all kinds of ideas. Well, then I'd be going around doing miracles. I'd be going around raising the dead. That's like probably one of the first, at least comes to my mind like that. But have you ever heard of the Jesus who, when he was reviled, he didn't revile again? When he was placed in suffering places, he didn't threaten others? Isn't that a glory? It's our natural reaction is to fight back, to justify ourselves. He had learned a better way. So I'd like to read also in John 1. In verse 4. Yeah, I can read right off of there. I see what you mean, Lynn. Yeah. It talks about Jesus, and when John, he speaks about him here in the Gospel of John, and then he also will in a letter, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So if you're a believer and you're a Christian, there is an attraction that goes with one of those. They love what they do. They love God with all of their heart. That's a tremendous, that's actually a requirement of being a believer, is to love God. And if that is working in you, if you let God cultivate that in you, it becomes apparent. You can see it. You can touch it. John also writes in 1 John in chapter 1 and 2. John, the apostle, had been with Jesus. He had walked with him. He had seen what he did. He had seen the dead raised. But this is what he writes about. He said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life." That's what he saw. He saw a Jesus who could be touched and tasted and handled. He saw one who could have compassion on the weak, who could uphold them, who could be patient with them. Day after day after day. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. And I hope that makes your heart beat a little faster. We're going to be like that. And day by day, you can see yourself being transformed into the image of, if you can behold that, if you can see that as your life, as you manifesting the glory of God once again on the face of the earth. His will, God's will, is to be done in heaven and on earth. So you're here on the earth to do His will. You're here on the earth to manifest His glory. And there is an attraction to the folks who walk that way, who live that kind of a life. You can see that in the midst of, and there's folks sitting here who have been in tremendous trials, and I only know a bit of them, the things you've suffered, but you're here. You've held fast to the hope that God has placed in your heart. You continue to put one foot in front of the other, and you continue, and God, He upholds the weak. You don't feel so full of faith. You don't feel so strong. But that's why we come together. That's why God has given us His Word, so that we can encourage one another. We can build one another up in the faith so that we fight better. We become more happy. So I thank God with all of my heart that He has given us that kind of a grace. And there was a man at one point named Moses. I think many of you have heard of him. And we can, he asked God, there was a man that could actually talk to God face to face, you could say. But he asked God, he said, I want to see your glory. And then we could see what happened. And that's in the next slide, please, Exodus 33. And so this was Moses, and he said, please show me your glory. He was talking to God. And then God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So you can see when God was going to show His glory, and we have all of these thoughts of what glory is like, but God made it very simple when He said to Moses, I will let my goodness pass before you. And isn't it that way? We want to help people. We want to strengthen people. We want them to get converted. We want them to change, etc., etc. But it's written in my Bible and yours too. It's the goodness of the Lord that brings people to repentance, isn't it? Isn't it much better than to crack the whip? I was thinking I grew up like that. And I sat in my seat and I had to tremble sometimes because I was so afraid of going to hell. Because you better do right, you better do this, and you better do that. But I wanted to, but I had no way to get there. I didn't know that Jesus loves me. I didn't know that He was on my side and He wanted to manifest His glory in my body while I'm here on the earth. So if you can hear that kind of a, if you can hear that, if you can get that, if you can pull that into your being, that God, He is for you. He wants to make it succeed for you. He wants to make you a blessing on the earth, wherever you are, in whatever family you are in whatever situation you are in. If you can hold, if you can just grasp a little bit of what God did when He placed you on the earth. He placed you in a specific place where from that place you could come to the, and Paul writes in Ephesians about coming to the whole fullness of the Godhead inside of Himself. Is that a far out dream? Yeah, I think sometimes it is for us. But it's the truth. We can dare to believe and ask for far beyond what we can think about even to ask for. And God, He can do those things in you. Isn't that the kind of God you have? Isn't He your Father? He's my Father. He's begun a work in me, and He's going to finish it. And the greater that faith becomes in ourselves, the easier it is to have for other people. That's what I found. Because when you realize how much mercy God has had on your life and how patient and long-suffering he's been with you, isn't it just, we just become that way for other people too? You've seen a bit more of his glory and you're being transformed into that day after day. Yeah, sometimes it seems like it takes a long, long time to even get a little bit of patience, to be a little bit more long-suffering, but isn't that okay? God's given me today. He's given me time. And we grow with the increase that God gives us. But it has to do with our connection to the Father. It has to do with our being led by his Spirit, that we're wakened morning by morning by him. He becomes my God. And that was something specific that it's really hard to grasp and get it into our hearts. When Jesus, after he had risen from the dead, he told, I don't know who it was he told, but he said, go and tell my disciples, he said, I'm going to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. You believe that?
Yes.
Yeah. So think about that. You wake up in the morning and you can talk to your God. You can talk to your Father. It doesn't get channeled through someone else. It's your connection to the Father. And he's placed you specifically on the earth where you can get that. It's according to your need and to your longing. And then there's another verse in Luke 17, 20 and 21. It says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees, this was Jesus being asked by them, when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and he said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. You believe that? Yeah? God bless you if you do. And if he doesn't, God bless you too. Because that's the whole work that God wants to do is within us, to strengthen us inside, to make us to be able to endure our daily trials, our daily situations that come our way, so that we actually come to the faith that there is nothing that can come my way except that which is allowed by my Father. Will he give me grace to stand in those situations? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Are you sometimes as weak as a wavering reed? Are you feel like, how's this going to go? How am I going to pass this? Yes, we do. But if we hold fast to the hope that God has given us, if we hold fast to those things that he has begun in us, the one who begun it, he surely can complete it, can't he? Yes, he can. So Christ, he has an attraction, and those who believe in him, that's what I've experienced throughout life. You can hear many messages, and you can hear many people speak even. You can talk with them. But there's a testimony that comes from the Spirit that they believe, and that is a tremendous blessing. It's like the cry of the newborn in that way. It rings true. It's the greatest thing on earth. And you can sit with people and chat with people and talk with people at work or wherever, and they're believers, but you can realize that something hasn't kicked in yet. They have a form, or the series that Lynn is doing, they're about removing the facade. So you can be who you are, and you can believe in your God. You can come to faith where you are. You can be strengthened at your job, at your school, at your home, wherever you are. You have this kingdom of heaven within. You can go into your secret closet within. And some may have a prayer closet where they actually go to a place. Sometimes there's need for that, but there's always that within yourself that's working, that has a direct connection to the Father, that the Holy Spirit works in and builds you up and strengthens you, gives you courage to fight the next fight, courage to get through the next day. So God, he's not a father who neglects his children. He just isn't. And sometimes it seems like you have to wait a long time, but he comes at the right time. I'd like to read also in Galatians, in chapter 5. And you could say, if we're going to come to this life, how shall we get there? What shall we do? And I could tell you it's a daily battle. It's a daily life. It's a daily taking up your cross and denying yourself. It's a daily holding fast to the hope that God has given you. It's a daily walk with the Lord. But to come to this life, it takes, we hear often about walking in the Spirit and listening to the Holy Spirit, being driven by him, being guided by him. Well, he's with you every day to guide you. And in Galatians in 5, I'll read first this verse in 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And in that lust of the flesh, there's always the, you want to get back at a person because they mistreated you. And this is wrong, the way the boss maybe treated you, etc., etc., all of those things. But to walk in the Spirit is you get a prompting that the reaction you were going to use was according to the flesh. You can begin to walk in the Spirit so you do not do the things that you used to do. And I'll read in verse 22, I guess. You can see the works of the flesh that's up there. That's how we act as a normal person without walking in the Spirit. But in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But when you taste that from a person, do you believe he's beheld the glory of the Lord? I believe he has. I believe he does. I believe that he has a connection to his Father. I believe he walks in the Spirit so that he doesn't no longer live according to his flesh, according to the will of man or the stuff that comes up within us. He's learned a better way to live. And it says then, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that will lead you to this blessed life that I've talked to you about. That will lead us to a joy inexpressible inside that no man can take from you. No situation can take from you. You have a eternal possession within you, and you're not always going around just smiling away. I don't think that your face is going to get stiff if you try that. But it's a fruit of the Spirit that comes from God himself, which you possess, and no one can take it, and no situation can take it from you. Yeah, you're brought to grief sometimes and all of those things, but you have an inner possession that you got from God. You got it from your Father. You got it from your God. So to have those kind of connections, that think what God did to mankind to give us that he cares for his children. And you can say, well, I'm in this situation. How could he care for me? How could he let this happen? He has a tremendous love for you. Far beyond, it's not a human love. But he wants to help us to grow and develop. And once again, his life can be manifest through your body while you're here in your body on the earth. And you don't have to wait until you're an old person like me. That can begin in a young person, in a child. They come to faith in their Father. He loves me. He wants to help me. There is a difference, you could say, in serving. When you're giving, there's people who give because it's right to give. They bless because it's right to bless. They speak because it's your turn to speak, etc. But there's a total difference if you serve out of love. You've become connected to your Heavenly Father, and your glory is to see others develop, to see them grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus, to see these virtues, to see the glory of God happen in them. It's no longer about I, me, and mine. It's to give and to bless and to strengthen. So you have every day to do that. You have your wife, you have your husband, you have your children, you have your coworkers, all of those. Are you a blessing where you are? Do you manifest the glory of God? Have you beheld it? And you can't do something you can't behold. But if you see that God, he's good, he's always good, he's kind, and he has a tremendous hope for mankind, he has a hope for you. That's the life that I want to live. And I'd like to read in 1 John 3. Taking a little bit out of Lynn, maybe. You get there. But God's word is always new. It is. And I've had to personally hear it many times. And you realize there's things in there I never grasped. But just look at what it says here. It's in 1 John in 3. Let me turn to it here. And we've got to take God's word personally for it to be a help to us. Many years, I think I spent, wasted my time in thinking, yeah, it'll work for everybody else but me. I'm a little different. I'm such a doubter, such an unbeliever. But those good people over there, and you could see them and they would testify in their faith, and I didn't have that. I wanted it. I wished I could get a hold of that. But then it's written in the first verse, and John, he says again, behold, he says, look at it. What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. You think about that? Well, I'm so-and-so's child. No, you're a child of God. You could be called a child of the living God. He is my Father. And therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, and he comes again. Now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed, but we shall be. What we shall be. But we know. Think of all the faith-strengthening words in this. These few verses. Look. Behold. And then he says, and we know. Do you know? Is that your bold profession? Or your bold confession of your hope? And you can do it as boldly.